Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Do the Right Thing Right with your host, Phyllis Wilson, the Do Right Guru. We may not have all the answers, but we'll help you find them. We're coming to you live from Houston, Texas, as we do every Thursday at 12 noon Central Standard Time. Our format is 30 minutes to allow for a short lessons learned application regarding ethics. For call-ins, dial 646-478-3840 or interact in our chat room.
Hello and welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Do the Right Thing Right for Thursday, July the 16th. And I'm your host, Phyllis Wilson, the Do Right Guru. I'm coming to you live from Houston, Texas, as I do every Thursday at 12 noon Central Standard Time. And I want to remind our audience, again, for call-ins, to call 646-478-3840, or you can interact in our chat room. And today's guest is Jill Vanderwood. And Jill, thank you for being on the show today.
Well, thanks, Phyllis. I'm glad to be here.
Wonderful. Listen, Jill, tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I'm a grandmother, and I live in Idaho, and I'm a writer, and I've published 6 books, and I have the 7th one coming out this summer. And my latest book that's out right now is Shaking Behind the Microphone, Overcoming the Fear of Public Speaking. And you can find me on the web at Jill Vanderwood, VanderWood.com.
Okay. And Jill, how long have you been writing?
My first book was published 10 years ago.
Oh, okay. Wow. So what's the new book that's coming out?
It's called Erase the Problem of Bullying. And it's where I talk to teens. I share teens' stories about their bullying experience, talk to people. I have stories from experts, and I also have stories from bullies, such as a federal prisoner, Cedric Dean, and he's been in prison he said he started out as a bully, and then ended up as an armed robber trying to take what he wanted.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. So how did you start writing about that subject?
I had a granddaughter who was having trouble with bullies at school, and she asked me to write it. So she doesn't want her name in there because if she did, then maybe her bullies would find out, and she was afraid. So she wanted me to do it, and I felt that there was a need for that book.
Oh, yes, definitely, definitely. A good friend of mine, she did her dissertation on workplace bullying, and oh my God, it's an epidemic from early childhood on through adulthood. We have bullying going on.
We sure do, and I think the bullies never grow out of it unless they get corrected somehow along the line.
Why do you think people are bullies?
Well, they often picked on, I think they were picked on in their family or by other people, and maybe they feel like that is control, and maybe they feel like they can pick on somebody smaller or somebody with problems.
Wow. Have you ever been bullied?
I was bullied. It started in
really?
Fifth grade and lasted through high school mostly, yes.
Really? And girls or boys?
Boys. It was the boys in my class were picking on me.
Oh, wow. Why?
Well, I was new to the school. All these kids had grown up together up into the fifth grade. You know, they knew each other since kindergarten. And I lost my eraser on the floor, and I knew my mother wouldn't buy me another one. So I told on the boy who took it, and they decided to get me back, and they did. But I don't think they even remembered why they were bullying me, but they never stopped.
Really? My ex-husband is a cop, and my daughter went to stay with him for a year, and she was bullied in school because her dad was a cop, because they saw her when she first registered for school, and he was in his uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And Jill, at lunchtime, they would throw food at her. They bullied her, and she has never forgotten that. She's very sensitive about bullying. That's a subject that she's really, really passionate about. But listen, we are going to talk about an ethical dilemma that you face. So do you have one to share with us today?
Sure. I was going to first share a really short one about one time when I went to the gas station to buy gas, and it was before they made you pay for the gas first. And I went into the store to buy snacks and treats for my kids, and then I went home and I forgot to pay for the gas. And I was so afraid that I was going to have the cops at my door, and I was in trouble, and I hurried and went back to the gas station and paid for the gas, and they said, oh, we didn't even notice. And my son kept saying, Mom, you could have gotten away with it. I was trying to teach him a lesson that, you know, you have to pay for things, and he kept saying, you should have gotten away with it.
Right. My daughter asked me a question today. She said, I have an ethical dilemma. What do you think I should do? And I said, well, if you've got to ask me, you already know the answer. But she had bought a bed, and the price for it was $4.99. It was just a frame, a bed frame, headboard. And they have a credit card system, a credit card program where if it gets cheaper within the 10 days after you buy it, they'll refund you the difference to your credit card. So the bed went on sale, and it was $75 cheaper. So she called them, and they credited her $75, but they credited her $75 twice.
Oh.
And so she's like, what do I do? And I said, well, I would give it a couple of weeks and let everything be, you know, maybe hopefully they have checks and balances where they can find out that, hey, we overcredited her. And I said, and then let them know that they overcredited you $75, and then they can come back and take it. But don't do it now because it might get all confused and, you know, they could double take it out or, you know, just wait till the checks and balances have cleared. And she said, but, Mom, it's their fault they made the mistake. And I was just like, why'd you ask me the question? But, you know, it's hard to do the right thing. I know I've been to the grocery store. I don't know if this has happened to you, Jill, but I went to the grocery store and I went to the meat department and I said, I want to get a pound of shrimp. And the guy said, okay. So he was weighing out the shrimp and he was a nice looking older gentleman. And he said, so how are you today? He was making small talk with me, da, da, da. And he said, you know what? I'm going to give you an extra pound for free. And I took it, Jill. And when I got up to the cash register, I was just like, Phyllis, you know this is not right. And so I told the lady to charge me double because he had given me 2 pounds and he didn't put it on the receipt. And she did, but it was nice. It was a nice gesture from him. I know he was trying to flirt with me, but I didn't want to steal from that store because it's just not right. So we have to, and you know, we set an example for our children and our grandkids when they do stuff. So yeah. Wow. That's crazy. I've never forgotten to pay for gas, but, I'm sure if I had been in your situation, I would have done the same thing. Was there any other option for you to do? No.
No.
Not really, right?
I could have been arrested.
Right.
I've seen them chase people down who didn't pay for gas.
Oh, yes, exactly, exactly. And who knows, they could have watched the video if they were had security, and they could have watched the video, and I don't know. But, yeah, it's crazy. Wow.
I didn't just go back. I didn't go back just because I could get in trouble, though. I wanted to do the right thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's important. Yeah, it is. And so do you have another dilemma you wanted to share with us? I know you said two.
Oh, yes. My granddaughter, who is now in her 20s, and she is not a criminal, by the way. she got caught shoplifting. And my daughter called me up, and she told me about it. And this little girl was in the fifth grade, and she had taken a huge bag to the store in a shopping area with her friends, and she had filled it up with clothing and different things. She even had little outfits for her dog. And she said this was her Christmas. Yeah, they were her Christmas shoplifting. She's got something for everybody. And I guess some. In the meantime, her mom grounded her. She found out about it. And her mom said to me that she has really good taste. We all love the outfits. And some of the sisters had gotten into them and worn some of them. And then her mom didn't know what to do, whether she should take them back. So all she did was ground her. And I decided that she needed to take these back. So I had her gather them up. And one of the friends had even taken some things home. We went to their house. Everything had been worn, and we took it back to the store, and they had already known about her. One of the little girl who was 8 was with her, and the parents had taken her back to the store, and she had identified on the security and identified the other two girls. So they already had her picture posted up in their back room in the security, and they were looking for her, and they were going to watch out that she didn't do this again.
Well,
anyway, at the store, they told us that 90% of people don't make their kids bring the things back.
Really?
And they also told us that all three girls had come back now. The first girl, the little girl, the parents had made her return the things and own up to it. The second girl, the family brought her to the store and paid for everything, saying that if she needed it that bad, they would let her have it. And then the third girl was my granddaughter. Yeah. My granddaughter brought them. They said because they'd been worn, they probably couldn't resell them, but they were glad that she returned them.
Oh, wow. Oh, Jill. So how did she react when she went back to the store?
How did she react?
How did she act? Yeah.
This girl was thinking smart, I guess. She put on the ugliest, like, worn-out jeans and things, so she looked poor. And made sure she didn't look like her hair was fixed or anything.
Oh my goodness.
And she went in the store with me. I know. And then she went in the store with me, but there were other stores too, and we had divided the items between the stores, and she wouldn't get out of the car for the other stores. So I felt like she'd learned her lesson, and I just took the other things back myself.
Oh, my goodness. So, Jill, when you took her to other stores, were you leery about did she pick up again, or did you think you really think she learned her lesson?
I didn't take her back to the other stores. They were in the same area, so she refused to get out of the car. She put her feet up. She would not let me open the door handle. She wasn't getting out. So I did that myself.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's crazy. So, do y'all ever talk about it, you know, now that she's grown? No.
We do sometimes. Now, she is a co-author of one of my books called Drugs Make You Unsmarter. And in that book, we tell about her background, and her father has been in prison. So that's one of the reasons I said you are not going to turn into a criminal.
Right.
Like
right,
your father.
Exactly. Right. Wow. That's crazy. So now you said she's 20 now?
She is.
Does she have kids?
No, she doesn't have kids.
No. Okay. Because I wonder how she would react if her daughter did something like that, you know?
I think she'll be smart about it. I really do. She'll remember.
Yeah.
I think she'll remember me making her go back. Her mother didn't make her.
Wow. So now tell me about these other books that you've written. This sounds interesting. So you wrote one on bullying. You wrote one
yes.
on drugs. And you've got this one on public speaking. What else have you done?
I have a book about the environment where I interviewed kids on how they are taking care of the environment, and many of the children have started their own organizations to save the rainforests and to provide clean water to Africa and different things. So I featured those kids in that book so that we could mm-hmm. tell other kids how to live green.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's
and
called
What's
It Like Living Green? Pardon?
What's It Like Living Green? Okay, that's what I was asking.
Yeah.
I was just wondering what the title was. Oh, okay. Oh, wow. And what else have you written?
Oh, my other books are fiction, children's books.
Oh, okay. So you like to write.
I love to write.
So now the book that you wrote about public speaking, what caused you to write that book?
When I became an author, and I told you that I had been bullied, so the bullying kind of set me back in life. I wouldn't speak up for anything, and even as an adult. And
mm-hmm.
when I became an author, I feel that I became an author because I couldn't communicate, and so I started writing things.
Mm-hmm.
So as an author in my 50s, I decided that I knew a lot of things about marketing and I wanted to teach a workshop. And I realized
mm-hmm.
that I was too afraid. But
mm-hmm.
I had already volunteered. So I had to figure out how I was going to do this. And
uh-huh.
I went to Toastmasters and I did all kinds of things to try to overcome my fear. And one of the final things that I did was to go skydiving. I
uh-huh.
had this in my mind, yeah. In my mind, I had the idea that if I could jump out of this airplane, then I could face any fear. So
right.
it really did help me.
Really? Oh, my God. I am afraid of heights. Oh, my God. So you jumped out of an airplane, and
yes.
that, oh, wow. That's crazy.
I was actually doing it for a fundraiser for literacy, but there were two reasons, one for the fundraiser and one for
uh-huh.
trying to overcome my fears.
Wow. So now, Jill, do you think that is applicable? Okay, so were you jumping out of the plane to overcome your fear of public speaking or just overcoming fear?
My fear of public speaking.
Oh, okay. So do you think that could be applicable to other fears that we have?
Definitely. I say one of my pointers is to do something that scares you. And then if you have faced that fear, then this fear seems so minor compared to
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's interesting. Shaking behind the microphone, overcoming the fear of public speaking. Wow, that's so. Do you do a lot of public speaking?
Quite a bit. I'm on the radio a lot. I've been on television. I have done interviews for newspapers, and I speak to schools and even summer camps and Boys and Girls clubs, and we've even spoken to a drug rehab place with all adults, and I teach workshops for writers.
Oh, okay, okay. Wow. So when you were doing this book on shaking behind the microphone, was that in your plans to do the book, or how did that come about?
Well, when I was afraid of public speaking, I was thinking, aren't there other people out here suffering from this? Because it was a real big fear for me. And I found out that 75% of people are afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And
I
couldn't find the book that I wanted. I wanted a book that told me how other people were handling this. And I couldn't seem to find that book. So I decided to look for people that were like me and interview them. And I put their stories in there along with mine. And then I talked to experts on how they thought you should handle this fear. And I even talked to a nutritionist. I interviewed a nutritionist who said that she had anxiety and public speaking and other things. And she said that when she changed her nutrition, the fear left her.
Really? And how did she change her nutrition?
She mentioned gluten. And I am gluten-free also. And I was thinking maybe my fear started to go away about the time I became gluten-free. I don't know.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
I also talked to a hypnotist, and he said that 90% of his clients who had some kind of a fear to overcome became better after hypnotism.
Have you ever tried that?
No, but, you know, I was thinking at that point, I wanted to overcome this fear so badly that was something that was in my mind. If these other things don't work, I'm going to hypnotism. But I didn't go to hypnotism.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's interesting. Well, so this book that you're doing on bullying, where can people find that book at?
This book hasn't quite gotten out yet, but I'm on the galleys, which means they send me almost the final copy just to go over for mistakes. So he said that it will be out this summer. So it's called Erase the Problem of Bullying. So it should be out before school starts.
Oh, okay, okay. Wow, that's interesting. So will it be, do you have a website? You have a website, right? Jill Vanderwood?
JillVanderwood.com.
Okay.
If you look on my website, that should be popping up there pretty soon.
Oh, okay. Wow, so she's a grandmother, she's an author. Wow, that's neat. I am looking at your website now, and I encourage our listeners to go to www.JillVanderwood.com and check out some of the books that Jill has written. I see that you were Writer of the Year in Utah.
Yes, I was. I think it was 2008. From the League of Utah Writers.
That's neat, Jill.
Oh, thank you.
Wow, that's great.
We've also won the Mom's Choice Award for Drugs Make You Unsmarter.
Oh, really? That is wonderful. Wow. So mainly it's children's books that you focus on?
Mostly. The book about public speaking is not a children's book, but the rest, all the rest are.
Right. Right. Wow. And so what about this book, Achieve Your Ultimate Success?
That is a video, and I was asked to be in that video. They were interviewing people about how they became successful in their field, and they asked me to come. I went to California, and I was interviewed on the for the video.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. That's exciting. I'm looking at this drugs make you unsmarter. How did you come up with that title?
It was something that my granddaughter had said. She was was giving me a statement for the book, and she said that word unsmarter, and I said, that's it. That's the title. It kind of says everything that you needed to say.
Yeah. Wow, that's exciting.
And that's a picture of her on the cover.
Oh, that is. Oh, okay. So for our audience, Jill has Shaking Behind the Microphone, Overcoming the Fear of Public Speaking, Drugs Make You Unsmarter, What It's Like Living Green, Kids Teaching Kids by the Way They Live. And then additionally, her other books are Through the Rug series children's books, and as well as Stowaway, the San Francisco Adventures of Sarah the Pineapple Cat. Okay, Jill, that is very interesting. The Pineapple Cat?
That was a series that, I only authored one book in the series. There were different authors for each book.
Oh, okay. So you like to collaborate sometimes with other authors, I see.
That was my first time, and I decided to see if I could write with someone else's characters and write and come on into somebody else's series, and I thought it was a lot of fun.
Oh, okay. Is this part of being a part of the League of Writers that you did that, or?
No, it wasn't. I just found them online, and then they were looking for authors, so.
Oh, okay.
But if you are a writer, it is good to become a member of a group in your area, because you can support each other and look at each other's work and encourage each other.
Right. Wow. Well, listen, I want to thank you, Jill, for being our guest today. And I want to remind our audience that on next week's show, we'll have another guest who will talk about an ethical dilemma that he faced. So I invite our listeners to tune in next Thursday at 12 noon Central Standard Time. And remember, I'm your host, Phyllis Wilson, the Do Right Guru. I may not have all the answers, but I help you find them.